Congress has seen a flurry of activity lately with Democratic leaders negotiating with Republicans in some cases and members of their own party in others on a variety of bills. Senate Democrats Chuck Schumer and Joe Manchin reached a deal on reviving a reconciliation package that includes key spending to fight climate change, among other things. Schumer says he plans to call another vote on the PACT Act, which aims to provide health care to veterans exposed to toxic burn pits. And there's been bipartisan support in the passage of the CHIPS Act, aimed at boosting semiconductor production to compete with China. We're catching up on all the moving parts on these bills, some of the politics behind them, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about these bills in Congress? Do you want to see Democrats pass something, maybe not the full Build Back Better bill that fell by the wayside, but something on climate change, Medicare price negotiations, and more? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Elena Treen is a congressional reporter at Axios. She's a co-author of the weekly Axios Sneak Peek newsletter and covers Capitol Hill, the Biden administration, and elections. Elena, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with this sort of, I think, surprise to a lot of people, including congressional Democrats. Democrats are calling it the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, the descendant of the Build Back Better plan that didn't end up passing. Can you tell us what is in this? What's the scope of it?
Yes. Yeah, so big news on Capitol Hill dropped last week by Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Chuck Schumer, who had been negotiating this really in secret and in private. They didn't bring in, as you mentioned, really any other Senate Democrats to be involved in these talks. And Manchin says that's because he wasn't sure if they would fail or they'd fall apart. But now it's proving to potentially complicate negotiations and, you know, a final potential passage of this bill. The total price tag of this is $739 billion, which is far less than the $3.5 trillion that had been floated most of last year as Democrats were working toward what was then called the Build Back Better package on climate change and a lot of the more ambitious and progressive priorities of the Biden administration. This bill, the much more smaller deal, like I said, $739 billion, a good chunk of that will go toward a 15% corporate minimum tax, which is what some Democrats, particularly Joe Manchin, is calling just closing the loophole, less of a, you know, raising taxes on corporations, but more so closing loopholes that exist already. $288 billion will go toward prescription drug pricing reform, something that many Democrats have been really eager to pass, but have really failed to do so in the past several years. There is also IRS tax enforcement in there. There's $14 billion for the carried interest loophole. Another good chunk of money for energy security and climate change, and about $64 billion for expansion of the Affordable Care Act. And so those are the main components here. And like I said, it's a much slimmer and narrow focused package compared to what Democrats had initially been pushing for, but really the most realistic thing that they can get done, particularly as we come up against the November midterm elections.
Okay, procedure-wise, this is, as you mentioned, it's the R word, reconciliation, this thing that a party can do a couple times a year. It's a little tricky, but it lets them get past the filibuster. So they could do it with their majority, which is 50 plus a vice president. All Democrats presumably need to be on board with this. Doesn't seem likely to get Republican support. What are the big question marks there when it comes to getting all 50 Democrats in the Senate on board with this thing?
Well, there's a few hiccups that I think are being ironed out as we speak. The biggest one is Senator Kyrsten Sinema, who has really been, if you look at negotiations over the past year and a half or so of the Biden administration, Senator Sinema and Manchin have always been the two that have stood in the way of a potential reconciliation deal. Again, what would need only a simple majority in the Senate. Manchin is on board because he's been the one who's negotiating this, but they've left Sinema out of the process, which has raised some alarm bells, I think. And I think her team has told me and other reporters that really she was blindsided by the announcement of this deal last week. I think we're going to see more come of that In the next several days, Senator Chuck Schumer, the majority leader, said that he wants to have a vote on this by the end of the week. The Senate is supposed to break by the end of this week to go on their August recess, not returning until early September. So they're really racing against the clock to get this done. I suspect that they'll probably extend their session a couple days longer to iron this out. But getting Senator Sinema on board will be huge. Joe Manchin plans to speak with her on the Senate floor this evening. We'll see if that, you know, goes anywhere. But also her team has been saying that she really wants to see the sentiment parliamentarian. Again, this is all very in the weeds, I know, but really to get any kind of deal like this through the reconciliation process, which is a budget process in the Senate, you need it to pass what's called the Byrd rule, which is really ensuring that all of these priorities and the provisions in the broader bill are in line with that whole process for a budget reconciliation package. So Sinema is one big obstacle. Another obstacle, I'd say, are some moderate Democrats, particularly those in the tri-state area like New Jersey, who have really been talking about wanting, if they're going to have any sort of bill that deals with taxes, they want it to eliminate the salt tax, the state and local tax provision. Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey has said that he takes issue that this bill doesn't address salt. But from the conversations that I've been having with some of these moderate Democrats who care deeply about that issue, it doesn't seem like they're going to hold up the package because of that. And so it really does look like they're on track to get this done, but they do still need to get a couple more things ironed out and particular senators on board to make sure that this passes. Like I said, they want it by the end of the week.
We're talking to Axios congressional reporter Elena Treen about bills working their way through Congress right now. We've been talking about this, what's being called the Inflation Reduction Act, a Democratic effort to do some climate change funding, make some changes to tax policy, allow Medicare to negotiate prescription drug prices, and more. Other bills out there, this chip production bill that's gone to President Biden for his signature, a holdup on a veterans health bill as well. You can join in at 800-642-1234 on any or all of those. If you want to see Democrats accomplish this climate change and other stuff legislation this year, this election year, what about this bill aimed at boosting chip microchip production here in the United States, trying to boost the technology industry, reduce dependence on China? And have you been following the drama over this bill to fund healthcare for veterans exposed to burn pits? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Elena Treen, congressional reporter at Axios, with us today to share the latest on bills in Congress, including climate change efforts, computer chip production, and health care for veterans. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Your thoughts on any of this rush in Congress, this last-minute drama before they go to their August recess? The number is 800-642-1234. Let's bring out a caller. Jim is with us in Bayfield County. Jim, hi.
Oh, hello. Thanks for letting me talk for a second. I'm a veteran of Vietnam, and I've been concerned about this burn pit bill because I've been in mental health treatment with the VA, and I noticed quite a few guys claiming a disability through the burn pit. I do not think that the science is there. 3.2 million American veterans are going to claim they've been exposed to burn pit thing, and it's I think it's bogus. I know that it's not very popular what I say, but I sincerely think it's true. Thank you,
Jim. Thanks for the call, Elena. Jim, referring to this bill in Congress, remind us what this, it's called the PACT Act, I believe, was intended to do.
Yes, that's right. And it faced some controversy last week, but it looks like it will likely pass. The PACT Act stands for the Promise to Address Comprehensive Toxics Act. And essentially, it's a sweeping military toxic exposure legislation. And the call is very right. A lot of people referring to it as a burn pit bill. And it's supposed to benefit millions of American veterans. You know, the controversy around this bill, it's funny, and it's very typical with how things work here in Washington. It got caught up and kind of hung up over things that didn't have to do with the bill. I think Republicans for a long time have supported this measure. And then late last week, when talks of this reconciliation bill with Democrats negotiating it being far bigger than Republicans expected it to include climate change and other provisions, they decided that maybe we don't want to vote on this. And they voted against it and held it up because of those negotiations. But in light of that, a lot of people, including John Stewart and other veterans, have really, you know, spanned the airwaves in the days since that, saying that they need to vote for this and this is a very important bill. And it looks like now it's headed for a procedural vote in the Senate tonight, Monday night, and it'll likely get the 60 votes for it to move forward. And if it does do that, it's very much expected that it will pass and be signed into law by President Joe Biden a few days after that. And so it is on track, I think, to pass. And it looks like Republicans have since kind of dropped their refusal to hold this up, their intentions to hold this up. And so it looks like it's on track, but definitely a bill that I think many veterans, including the caller, are worried about, and rightfully so.
And the objection from Republicans, the stated objection anyway, wasn't to the content of the bill itself, as I understand it, but to how it was paid for, or I guess they argue not paid for. Is that what they were mostly pointing toward?
Yes. I mean, one of the mostly, I think that's where the Republican opposition came in. There's also been some concern over how some of the benefits in the bill will be classified in federal budgeting procedures. One of them is about, you know, whether the funding for this bill, which will be spanned out over the next several years, whether that should be mandatory or something that's voted on consecutively each year moving forward. That's something that Senator Pat Toomey, a Republican from Pennsylvania, has really pushed for, and his amendment to do, you know, to limit whether, you know, not have it be a permanent funding measure, but rather something that's voted on year to year. That's something that the majority leader, Chuck Schumer, is expected to attach in an amendment today. And so if that's voted on, Toomey said that he expects a vote for the bill. I think other Republicans are kind of happy with just having the vote itself. But most, by and large, I think it was kind of opposition to other things that Democrats are doing and not necessarily the contents of this bill itself.
Talking to Elena Treen, congressional reporter at Axios, looking at a flurry of activity in Congress running up to the August recess. Elena, I also mentioned this CHIP Act aimed at boosting microchip production in the United States. Some questions about it as it went into the House after getting some bipartisan support in the Senate ended up passing. Again, remind us a bit of what this bill would do and the politics that ultimately sent it to President Biden for a signature.
Yeah, so the CHIPS bill was huge. And it's something that, again, another one of those bills that has had many different names. And this time it's really focusing on the chip manufacturing and still, though, has a lot of ties to China. It's something that initially was called USICA, and something that a bipartisan group of senators passed over a year ago now. And there was a lot of controversy over the size and scope of the bill, but really it's kind of continued to maintain a lot of the same provisions that the initial bill had. It's going to be roughly $250 to $280 billion for the manufacturing industry and for technology and science programs. Funding for the National Science Foundation is a huge part of the bill. And it really is to help set up America to better compete with China. It also addresses a lot of the supply chain issues that I think we've seen in the United States over the past year or so, affected by COVID, also in part affected by current inflation, as we're seeing. And so a bill that really a lot of people said was necessary, not only to help the manufacturing industry, but also a national security bill to better position the United States against China.
Briefly, the House also passed an assault weapons ban, an effort to bring back some kind of assault weapons ban. This is on Friday. Now, in the Senate, this one would need 60 votes. That seems like a tall order.
Yes, it's almost guaranteed it will fail in the Senate. I just don't think that there's enough Republicans to get that over the 60-vote threshold that is needed to break the filibuster. And this is a conversation that also came up in light of the massacre in Buffalo and then again in Texas with the Uvalde shooting. And there was a reason it didn't. I mean, the Senate and the House, you know, Congress, and it was passed into law, a bipartisan gun safety bill. There's a reason that the senators who negotiated this bill did not include a ban on assault rifles or assault weapons in that bill, because it was just, it was known that they would not get enough support to pass. And so while the House has a lot of a much bigger, Democratic majority where they were able to pass this, it really was seen as a messaging bill more so, and not something that would be passed into law.
A lot going on in Congress this week. What are you watching for next in the, I guess, hours and days to come?
Well, we talked about a lot of it. I think, you know, the PACT Act will be huge. It's something that a lot of people would expect to pass quite easily and had some hiccups, but I do expect it'll pass this week. And it's a very important bill for veterans. And so that is on track. And reconciliation is going to be massive. It's something that I think took up really most of the oxygen on Capitol Hill for almost all of last year, particularly the latter half of last year, until we saw Senator Joe Manchin kind of shoot it down. Now that there's a deal and they're headed toward potentially putting the bill on the floor as early as the end of this week, everything is going to be on that. And they only have a couple days left before they break for recess. And I know that really the momentum on Capitol Hill, particularly on the Democratic side, is going to be fully focused on getting that reconciliation bill passed. And it's interesting, I think, that with this bill, with the CHIPS bill, with the PACT Act passing, and then that bipartisan gun safety bill I just mentioned, these are all things that Democrats are really eager to go home over recess all throughout August and also in September and October before the midterms and campaign on and show that they have been doing things in Washington, D.C. and trying to deliver wins for the party. It's something that really they're desperate for right now, because they're, you know, President Biden is really lagging in the polls in a way that is really disappointing to a lot of Democrats, and they need these wins. And so I think all eyes will be on the few more bills that they can get done now. And I also just want to note, I think, you know, once they come back from their recess in September, really, they don't have a lot of time to get any other major legislation done. So what we see happen in the next few days is really going to be what we can expect Congress to be passing on a large scale before the November midterm elections.
Elena, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Elena Treen is a congressional reporter at Axios. She was with us today to bring us the latest on a variety of bills in Congress, including climate change, veterans' health care, and computer chip production. Democrats trying to get a lot of these bills passed, as we heard, as time is running out leading up to the August recess, and then, of course, the midterm elections coming up in November.